Another writer's strike, the weirdest Fantastic Four casting rumour we've ever heard, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We're talking all that and more on this week's show. I'm your host, Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
And welcome to That Superhero Thing.
Let's do it.
We're going to play a game this week, listeners. It's called Count How Many Times Anthony Breaks Down Crying During This Week's Episode. I counted three times in the car on the way home.
Oh, I really did.
He did. My 10-year-old just sat in the back looking at him as if to be like, what is he crying about?
what is wrong with this grown man?
Oh, amazing.
I couldn't stop it either,
could I? If you haven't guessed already, it was in reaction. It wasn't the Fantastic Four casting rumours. It was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, because we watched it. We've literally just got back.
We have.
I'm emotionally exhausted. We're not going to do
any spoilers. I'm emotionally scarred.
I am a little bit. We won't do any spoilers for Guardians just yet. No. We're not going to do a non-spoiler review, because if you've not seen it, pause this, go and watch it. Because it's boss. There's a spoiler. And then come back and listen to this.
Yeah,
but we've got a few bits to do first.
Can I tell you my story first?
Yeah, go on. Anthony's been dying to tell me this. So, I asked if it was podcast appropriate, and he said, "Yeah, but I don't believe him." Go on.
No, it's appropriate. It's just not related.
So now there's half the podcast usually. But go on.
So I was in rehearsals the other night.
Yeah,
and when I got home,
yeah,
I thought braces are off. I'm going to treat myself.
Okay.
And I got to Just Eat.
Okay, you're so crazy. Go on.
So I am.
You are, no. So I said it.
So, they got here quite early, knocked on my door.
Yeah.
I opened the front door. The guy went, "Did somebody say just
Short
eat?"
Off.
And gave me my food.
No, he didn't.
I nearly pissed myself.
No, he didn't.
I was absolutely creased over. Honestly, it was the funniest thing
really?
Ever. Ocean Star, the Chinese.
That's amazing.
I was wetting myself laughing.
That's amazing.
It was
amazing.
So funny.
You just know he does that at every
It was like
house.
Half 10 at night. I thought, how are you still this awake?
That's amazing. That is absolutely
But how
phenomenal.
Long has Just Eat been going? And how long have those adverts been going? And it's never happened before. So I'm just so surprised.
I'm not surprised it hasn't happened. I'm surprised it did.
I just thought it was brilliant.
That's phenomenal.
It properly made my night, you know.
Brilliant. We need
I was
to get
knackered
show.
And it just like picked me up.
I bet it did. That's the thing, innit?
Come on the show. Here's our delivery driver from Just Eat.
Just to do that. Order it again and we'll just get a recording of him doing it. There
a
you go.
Special request, please send the singing delivery
spoilers
man.
Spoilers for next week's episode. Before we start on the news, though, we don't normally tell you what we're doing on next week's episode until the end of the episode, but let's tell them, Anthony, what we're doing next week, because it's a different episode next week. It's a pre-recorded episode next week. We've already recorded it. Yeah. And the opening and the ending.
It's very special.
Because Anthony is in a play.
Yeah.
Is it called a play?
A musical.
A musical.
You did this last time as well.
I did. I didn't do that on purpose, I promise. Anthony is in a musical. That's not the big news. I mean, it is big news, but that's not the big news. Anthony, tell the people what we've got next week.
So, we have got a very special interview.
First ever proper interview.
First ever proper one. And it's not just someone little. It's not just like Fred, who is an extra in like a runaway scene in a film. No disrespect to Fred.
But Fred's like, sitting there crying, no.
Fred's goldfish was a big part in this play. We've actually got Richard Citrone.
Richard Citrone, a.k.a.
Zeus
from Army of the Dead.
Yep.
And
he was
Batman.
Also Batfleck stunt double.
He was. You're asking yourself, how the hell have they got him on their show?
Don't worry, people. We asked the same damn question.
We still don't get it either. No, not really. But there you go. That's next week's episode. So special episode next week. Interview with Richard Citrone. Listen to it. Really nice guy. Really fun interview. So yeah, that's coming up next week. Should we crack on with the news?
I feel like
I want to fly through the news because I really, really want to talk about Guardians.
Yeah, me too.
And watch Anthony break down crying. So, news. It's funny.
Thanks, mate.
Let's start this week with this week's selection of Fantastic Four casting rumours, as we do most weeks. I feel like this needs a theme tune, just the Fantastic Four casting rumours news. Go on, do it to you.
I was trying to think. Come on, I can't.
Put him on the spot.
All I had in my head was, Fantastic Four, who's it going to be?
That'll do. There you go. We'll put that on a loop, and that could come back next week.
No.
So, first things first, rumours still pointing to Adam Driver being a lock for Reed Richards.
Yes.
At this point, I will be surprised if he doesn't get announced. So I think we just need to accept that it's happening.
Yeah.
And move on.
We do seem to be getting multiple Susan Storms as well, don't we?
Sue Storm, perfect. That's a, you haven't even seen my notes, but you knew that was the next thing to talk about, Andy. Well done.
I know.
So earlier in the week, there were rumours online that Mila Kunis was in talks for the role.
Yeah.
I kind of like that, to be honest. I'd be good with that. It's different, but yeah. I'm good with it. Very quickly shot down. And that's when the weirdest rumour of the week came out.
Kristen Bell.
Oh, no, I'm talking the rumour about Mila Kunis.
Oh, sorry.
So, Reliable Scooper, My Time to Shine Hello, tweeted that they had heard Marvel are looking at Jewish actors, both male and female, for The Thing in Fantastic Four, and Mila Kunis is one of them.
Is The Thing Jewish?
I assume so.
Oh.
That, I mean, I like the fact that that's the thing that you take away from that. The fact that Mila... Not the fact that Mila Kunis might be the thing. But the fact that the thing's Jewish.
Well, it's a big rock man. How can you tell?
I don't know. Mila Kunis... I can think of a way. Clean show, Andy. Clean show. I walked into that one. Mila Kunis has denied this on the James Corden's Late Late Show or whatever it's called. So that's not happening. Thank God. I hate that idea.
Which?
The idea of Mila Kunis being the thing.
Yeah, I mean, so apparently there is some comics where there was a female thing.
I don't care. Let's not do it.
No, that's okay. I'm okay with you not caring.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not just like been sprung from nowhere at all. It is still derived from certain comics, but I
hate it. It's stupid. Please don't do it.
We just need a good original story. This is the problem that we've got.
Let's just do it.
We haven't had a good original, let's get the original four.
Good Fantastic Four story, and then we can start about with things and changing things. Let's just leave that, though. There are other rumours for Sue Storm. So, like you said, there was a rumour of Kristen Bell.
Yes.
Potentially being Sue Storm.
I'd be okay with that, you know.
I'd be good with that. Although, what?
No, I would.
I feel like it's a bit too obvious and a bit 10 years ago.
Do you think?
Yeah. I feel like if they'd made Fantastic Four at the start of the MCU,
that
would have been spot on. And I'm not saying that Kristen Bell's old. I just feel like that would have been prime casting
10
years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know whether in contrast to Adam Driver, I don't know, maybe she's a bit... Well, I don't know how old she is or how old he is, but...
He's 39.
How old's Kristen Bell?
Near 39.
either up or down. Another rumour for Sue Storm is that Margot Robbie has been offered the role. And this has been verified by multiple scoopers. Do you like that?
I don't.
No, I'm not.
And I don't know why. Because I love Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie's brilliant.
I've got no problem with Margot Robbie whatsoever.
Me either.
Something just doesn't quite click with it for me, and I don't know what it is.
I don't massively know the character of Sue Storm, other than from the cartoon and the two movies that came out.
Yeah.
And she, in all the things that I've ever seen her in, I'm sure it might not be different, it might be different in the comics, but she's quite, what's the word? No, I don't want to say boring. But she's not like a big character. Does that make sense? Sue Storm.
Right. So, funnily enough, I think Margot Robbie is too sexy.
I don't even think she's too sexy. I think she's too much of a character for that character.
She's too sexy, but that's part of it. There's a confidence there when you're that attractive. Mm. And I think I'm not saying Sue Storm needs to be a plain Jane, because obviously Jessica Alba, stunning.
Oh, yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. But there's an air of sass with Margot Robbie that you kind of get.
Jessica Alba wasn't a big, not that saying Margot Robbie's loud or obnoxious, but Margot Robbie is like Harley Quinn. And most things that I've seen her in, she's like a variation of that character. Even in Wolf of Wall Street,
character's always a bit chaotic.
Yeah, and that's not Sue Storm. No, I'm sure she can do...
Sue Storm is far too reserved. Yeah. She probably can, but just because we've not seen that before, it means that I can't picture it, and that's why it's not sitting right with me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She might absolutely blow it out the water if she gets it, and we might think, God, how are we even questioning this? But at the moment, because I've not seen it, I can't say.
But I feel like she'd be wasted on a character like Sue Storm.
Yeah.
We need to have a character for her that's a big character.
That she can sink her teeth into.
Even a villain? Do you know what I mean? Just, it needs to be something, something. It just doesn't suit it to me. I think you're quite right as well. Who else? Johnny Storm. So it was reported earlier the week that Paul Mescal had been offered the role, but he's turned it down.
Does that mean the Zac Efron rumours have now died?
I don't know. Zac Efron wasn't going to happen, was it? I don't really know Paul Mescal that much either. Wasn't he in something called like Sunburn or something like that?
No idea.
People were excited about it, but unfortunately it's not happening. I still can't pick who I want for any of these people.
No.
Even Reed Richards. I'm all right with Adam Driver, but I'm all right with Adam Driver. I'm not
I still
excited.
Want Hank from Breaking Bad to be Thing.
He's too old.
I know, but I just like
He's too old.
I know. I'm just saying I like
What about like Seth Rogen?
No.
No. What about...
Because if he laughed, it'll just take me out of
who
it.
Who else was up for it? Jason Segal. Jason Segel, yeah.
Segal,
yeah. That was a rumour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Steven Seagal in it.
Steven Seagal, yeah. Different.
I mixed up my Segal and Seagal.
Steven Seagal. That would be good as well. Go with that. Whatever you feel like. It's a bit different. Just not Mila Kunis. I love Mila Kunis, but not as the
What
thing.
About Jason Statham?
Yeah. I'm on board with that. I'm so on board with that. I'm completely on board with it. Let's do that. I feel like I've spent too much time on this. I think the reason that I don't like the gender swap thing so much is because that's something that Marvel would do.
Yeah.
And I don't want it.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing that they'd do is they'd get somebody who hasn't got the big, deep, gravelly voice and make that the thing. Like Korg, they're going to do that. That's 100% what they're going to pull. They're not going to have a gruff thing. I just don't think they will.
Really?
I think they're just going to have somebody like what's his face, the guy who voices Sonic. It'll be something like that. Or Pete Davidson. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be something like that.
No.
And I'm not sold on it, but we'll see. It's possibly going to be a while before we see this movie because, second bit of news, there's a writer's strike. There you go. The Writers Guild of America have voted to go on strike this week with immediate effect, and it's basically shut down parts of Hollywood. So all the late night shows like Fallon and Kimmel, they've shut down immediately. As for comic book movies, it's likely going to mean that anything currently in the process of being written is going to suffer some sort of delay. It obviously just means, it just depends even how long this strike goes on for. So the last strike, 2007 to 2008, went on for 100 days. And we saw what that did to Hollywood. It killed shows.
Yep.
Heroes was fantastic until the writer's strike, and then it just completely destroyed it.
Desperate Housewives suffered.
Desperate Housewives, yeah. Just one of them things, aren't these posters? Just lucky they're still up on that wall. I tell you, after that season three chaos, was it season three? I don't know. But yeah,
season four.
Was it? I was close.
Four or five, yeah.
I was close. There's no confirmation as to how long it's going to go on yet. But yeah, I think anything, like we said, anything that's still being written is just going to get, not destroyed, but just delayed. Even things that have already been written, they normally have writers on set to make adjustments and tweaks and stuff like that. And that's obviously going to go out the window until this writer's strike is done.
Yeah.
So what happens, we don't know. And then we're probably going to have a VFX artist strike straight after that.
Probably.
So yeah, we're going to, it's going to be like COVID all over again, isn't it?
We should just have the next Marvel movie as like a Snoopy type cartoon. That's it.
Because it's easy.
Because the VFX is
easy.
If they've all dropped
just
out.
Just go like proper cartoon. Yeah. Yeah, like hand-drawn cartoons.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Like old-style Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Steamboat Mickey style, yeah. Black and white.
Exactly.
Just Cap driving a boat whistling away. That's it. That's Captain America 6. Done.
Amazing.
Transformers. So another Transformers movie is in the works.
Is it?
Apparently this already? Was already announced. Yeah, but it's an animated movie.
Oh, okay.
So it's a prequel. It's called Transformers 1. It's going to go into the history of the war between the Autobots and the Decepticons. We've got a release date, so it's coming to theatres. It doesn't feel like it's the sort of thing that comes to theatres, but yeah.
Oh, no.
Comes to theatres July 2024, and the voice cast has been announced. So we've got Chris Hemsworth as Optimus Prime.
Okay.
Yeah, quite big names, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got Brian Tyree Henry as Megatron. So Brian Tyree Henry was in Eternals. He was the dude, the gay dude who did all the...
Oh, yeah.
Scarlett Johansson, isn't it? As a character called Alita. Don't know who that is. Keegan-Michael Key is going to be voicing Bumblebee.
Okay.
I like that. I think it's good casting that.
Okay.
We've got Jon Hamm as Sentinel Prime and Lawrence Fishburne as Alpha Trion.
Okay.
Who are like... Older characters dead by the time we've got caught up with Transformers,
But
as I said, this is a prequel. Don't know what exact story they're going to go down the route of. I would imagine they're going to go down the classic Orion Pax story. So Orion Pax was Optimus Prime, and he got killed by Megatron, and they brought him back to life, and they turned him into a Prime to fight Megatron.
Okay.
Just ruined the movie for you. Sorry. But
so what was he before he was Optimus Prime?
Orion Pax. He was just like a librarian.
Oh, sorry, that was his name.
That was his
I
name.
Thought that was the name of the story. Sorry.
No. So he was Orion Pax.
So I thought he was going to be like
He was an
Optimus meh.
He was an archivist. So he was like, he was like more of a...
He was a curator.
Yeah, he was like more of a scholar, more of like an academic rather than a fighter. Right. And but he still stood up against Megatron and just got destroyed in 2 seconds. So they gave him the power of the primes because it was like, it's like Steve Rogers type thing. It's like somebody who doesn't want to be powerful will make him powerful. Yeah, that sort of thing.
I'm with you.
But yeah, so that's coming next year. I'm really surprised that we're getting it as in theatres.
Yeah,
it feels like a Netflix, straight to Netflix type of thing.
So soon after the Transformers that's coming out this year.
Yeah, it's going to be like 18 months after, isn't it? A year after?
Yeah, 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite soon after, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's going to be the 28th Transformers movie after this 27th Transformers movie this week. Yeah, because they just can't stop making them.
Amazing.
It's clearly one of them things where it's like, we've got the right and we need to make a movie every 6 weeks, otherwise we lose the rights to Transformers, like Fantastic Four. Last bit of news then, Ant-Man Quantumania has got a Disney Plus release date.
It has.
So premiere is going to be on the 17th of May worldwide, which is only one day after the Blu-ray release.
Wow.
That is 3 months after the cinema release. So clearly these 45-day release windows are just out the window now.
Yeah.
It's bang on 3 months. It makes sense. They want more opportunity to make as much money in the box office as they can. And I don't get the impression that many people went to see it at the pictures.
No.
Because clearly it didn't do that. I don't think it broke half a bill, did it, in the end?
Don't think so.
So they obviously wanted to leave it. I think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to do a lot better.
Yeah,
Look, we went to the cinema tonight to watch it, and we struggled to get a seat.
I didn't sit next to you. We had to sit
separately, basically.
I literally sat on my own and just sobbed.
Yeah, but he's used to it.
crying on my own?
Average Tuesday night, sitting on his own crying. with Quantumania, we didn't get to cover it on the show because
we were on a break.
Yeah, we were.
I wrote a letter, 16 pages, front and back.
But it feels like a perfect opportunity to revisit it.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly like it. Anthony thought it was good, so there you go. Not next week because we've got Richard's Throne next week, but the week after, Ant-Man Quantumania. You liked it though, did you?
I did. There's bits I didn't like, but we'll talk about it.
There were bits I liked, just not many. Like the credits.
Okay.
I can't even remember what the post-credits... I can't even remember what the post-credits scene was. We'll find out next week, hey guys. Right, are we ready to see Anthony, or hear Anthony in your case, break down crying? Oh, are we ready for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
Yeah.
I'm mentally exhausted. I said this to you at the end of the
mentally and emotionally exhausted myself.
In a good way.
Yeah.
In a really good way.
I did think at first, like, when it all started coming together, I was like, there is a lot happening.
There was a lot happening.
And part of me was going, I was kind of... Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Part of me was going, where is this going?
Mm.
Because there were so many separate storylines happening all at once. I was like, how's this going to tie up? But actually, I think it tied up beautifully.
I think it did tie up beautifully. We're straight into spoilers here. Did we do a spoiler one at the start of the episode?
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
We didn't do our normal spoiler warning. Well, spoilers.
We said we're not going to do a non-spoiler. We're just going to get straight into it. So we did.
We normally do like the timestamps and the spoilers and stuff like that, but we skipped that.
There's timestamps.
Right.
If you haven't paused now,
during the description.
Get into it.
Anyway. I agree. Right, I think there was a little bit too much. This isn't it is obviously a criticism, but I think there was a little bit too much going on, like you said. And I think that they had to do that because I don't understand how you can have a film that has got such big things going on, like, again, spoilers, entire planets and entire civilizations getting wiped out, but at the same time it still didn't feel like there was a big consequence.
Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, totally.
There were, but you didn't feel it. But that's because it played on a more personal, emotional level.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did, and it hit really hard. But I feel like they had to throw all these stories together to make it feel a bit bigger than it was.
Yeah. What certificate was this one?
It was a 12A.
Was it still a 12?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know, yeah, I thought that as well.
I had to put a 15 on that.
I knew there was an F-bomb in it.
Yeah.
But you're allowed one F-bomb as long as it's not sexual. And then So, but I did check. I did check to see if it was a 12A.
But not just that, like...
It was graphic.
I kept... Because obviously we took Jake as well.
Yeah.
I was looking over to be like, has he hidden yet? Because if I was that age, I'd have been...
Kids nowadays, they're just desensitized to everything. They are.
That would have freaked me out as a kid.
What, when he took his mask off? When he took his face off?
The mask coming off.
Yeah.
The rabid turtle man.
The rabid turtle man.
And let's be honest.
Everything.
Bionic Pig and Birdman, whatever they were.
War Pig. Voiced by Judy Greer, we found out about 10 minutes ago. That was a shocker. We'll go through cameos because there were lots.
And was the other one a bird? It had a beak.
I don't know. But it was good, though. I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked the fact that I had no idea what that thing was. Yeah, yeah. And it was just full of monsters. Same. But then again, like you said, there was a lot. There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
This sounds like a very negative review so far.
It does, but it's
Can
not.
Can I just caveat that with This was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I really enjoyed it. We said in the car on the way back, if you were to split this movie into like four parts, like literally, you know, just four quarters. First quarter,
brilliant,
spot on.
Yeah.
The second quarter
slowed down,
it just lagged a little bit because it was trying to create all these stories.
Yeah.
And then straight away, the whole second half of the movie, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
The last quarter, so strong. So strong. Brilliant. So many good like action set pieces and stuff like that we'll talk about.
So we got a load of different stories, didn't we? So
yeah, go on, let's talk. So there's loads to talk about. We're not going to break down the whole movie. But yeah, let's talk about the stories that were going on.
So we quite early on, we got Adam Warlock's story.
So early. Yeah. I didn't think
we were going to get that
was
early.
Minutes.
But it's not at all what I expected. No. In fact, to the point where pretty much...
a bit tagged on.
If you took that out, I don't think it would have really been missed in the film.
Not in the slightest. Apart from the fact that no one would have saved Peter at the end.
Well, yeah.
And to be fair, it was the death of Rocket as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he hadn't been there. But it could have been anything. It could have been any random monster had been sent. Any random bounty hunter or just an accidental attack from a monster and then they went looking. It could have been anything.
I wasn't expecting him to be as dopey as he was either.
No, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how I felt about that. When I said to you in the card that I felt like there were stupid bits.
Yeah, they were all Adam Warlock's bits.
Mainly.
I kind of fell in love with him halfway through the movie, though. I was all right with it then.
When he found the little fluffy things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I kind of fell in love with him as well.
He was boss. Yeah. Well, he wasn't given enough to do. And again, I don't know like a huge amount about Adam Warlock. I know bits of him from the game. I know from like the comics, it's like he's as powerful as Thanos. And clearly it was in this as well. He's super powerful. But I don't feel like we got enough of an explanation as to what his powers were and stuff like that. We just kept getting told he's the Warlock, which I know know that, but what does that mean? Why is he super powerful? Why are none of the other Sovereigns powerful? It didn't explain that enough. It couldn't, though, because there was so much already going
on. All we literally got was you took him out of incubation too early.
Yeah.
And he's not fully developed. He's still a child. That was pretty much it.
That character, and I don't know what I expected because they got Will Poulter to play him. And now I'm thinking... should have seen it coming, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. He doesn't always do comedy. He doesn't always do stupid characters. He can do serious. He's really good at stupid characters. Yeah, he's brilliant.
Where the Millers.
Exactly. But I feel like it's a waste of that character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And totally. It's classic Marvel to take a character that is so serious and so powerful and make him a bit stupid.
Yeah.
And I as much as I enjoyed him, I do feel like it was a bit of a waste of that character.
Do you know what I did like, though? The Sovereign Queen. How disheveled she looked in this compared to the last one.
Yeah.
You kind of were seeing her downfall.
Yeah, definitely.
But
it surprised me that with how long she was actually on screen, it surprised me that they got her back for it.
Yeah, it surprised me. But I was also actually a bit gutted.
What, when she died?
Yeah.
I wasn't, and it's not that I don't like the actress. I think it was the thing that you knew straight away. It's what's going to turn Adam good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As soon as
I was thinking it's not going to turn him good, but I was thinking it's going to give them the same enemy.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to go down that route, but actually... He
turn good in the end.
Yeah. So we had that storyline. We had the Gamora storyline.
Yeah.
So this whole... I mean, I must admit, I didn't like Star-Lord being a pisshead at the beginning. I wasn't a fan of that. I just thought...
No. Oh, I feel
got
I don't
a bit
really,
too far in.
I feel like I want to stop this podcast now because I feel like I'm ripping the movie to pieces, and I feel like I've come out of it going, that was fantastic. And I'm not saying you're doing it, but now that I'm actually breaking it apart, it's like, didn't really like the Adam Warlock story. didn't really like the Gamora story either. And I'm sitting there going, what was good?
Do you know what? I didn't mind the Gamora story. I just was a bit...
It felt a bit...
Disappointed, the word. I don't...
It felt a bit forced. It felt like they'd... It felt
like
me,
they were putting her in for the sake of putting her in one last time.
Not even the fact that they were putting her in the movie. It felt like they'd created another subplot and they'd taken that character a step back from where we left that character.
Yeah.
Purely in order to create another subplot.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? It's
essentially the same subplot from the first one.
Yeah, it is kind of, yeah.
Because it's where Gamora was in the first one.
Yeah.
And it was their hair slowly getting won over by their friendship as a group. Do you know what I mean? It was that kind of thing, wasn't it?
And then when they didn't end up together at the end, it kind of felt a little bit like, well, what was the point in that? And I suppose it on a deep level, it's Peter's acceptance of it. He's never been able to get closure, and this has allowed him to get closure and move on to something else.
And do you know what? I actually kind of like that they've done they didn't get together because... It's a bit of a fairy tale and people don't always get together.
Yeah,
so I kind of was okay with it in that sense.
But it still felt a bit pointless.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously it was a way of getting Peter to that point.
And then we had Rocket's story.
That was it, wasn't it? So there weren't that many stories.
The main story.
But that was the main story.
We got the, what's his name? The entrepreneur? No. The high executioner. What's his name?
The high evolutionary.
The high evolutionary.
The entrepreneur. The top G.
We had his storyline as well, to be fair.
We did a little bit, yeah.
So,
but very linked, obviously very heavily linked to Rocket.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all about Rocket.
It was all about Rocket.
Lila said it perfectly. You are the main character in this. And you just didn't know it. And he was, despite not really, despite not being in it in the present for much of the movie.
No.
And probably, I imagine Bradley Cooper not getting much to do.
Yeah.
But it was so, that's what killed me.
It's what killed
me. That's
what
was just absolutely heartbreaking from the moment the movie started. Like when you first saw that hand go in to get that baby raccoon.
Yeah.
It was just so heavy. It got you to fall in love with these characters, Floor and the walrus. Can't say the walrus in front. Can't say Teeves in front of Mandy because he breaks down. He's going.
Do you know what? Like, it just upset me so much because obviously you had Rocket, Lila, Floor, and Teefs all like lying there talking about what their life will be when they get out.
I know.
And when he broke them out, I genuinely thought that at least one of them was going to get out with him.
Well, I thought I didn't. Yeah. Well, when they opened the cages, I thought they were all okay. And then once Lila got shot, I thought the other two would escape.
Yeah.
I really didn't see that coming, that they were both going to get killed.
And when he turned around and they were...
And he's gone. They were dead on the floor. Side note, sidebar then. Lila, here's one for you.
Yeah.
Did you get onto who was voicing Lila?
No, no.
Linda Cardellini was voicing Lila, a.k.a. Hawkeye's wife.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so multiple characters.
I like it.
She was the voice of Lila. That's thrown me.
Do you know what really got me?
What?
You know when they were shown... the holographic clip of him being tortured and their reactions to it all.
Yeah.
That was the first bit that
you
really
didn't need to see it because you just lived off their reactions and you could see how bad it was.
It just choked me up so much straight off.
It was really rough. The whole story, the whole Rocket thing was extremely, extremely hard to watch. It wasn't like a completely happy ending at the end, but even like right to the end point where it's like he got, when he was trying to rescue all the animals, I was like, please don't let all these animals die now.
Oh, I know.
He's got to get all these animals out. And then when he eventually did it, I was like, thank God for that. I couldn't have coped.
Yeah.
If they'd all gone.
If essentially Rocket had failed again, in his terms.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It was heavy. And the bit that got me, I think the first bit that hit me really hard was, I mean, that it upset me when like Flora and the walrus and Lila died. But the first bit that hit me hard was when Rocket came back to life and Groot and Peter were just hugging him on the table.
Oh, yeah.
That really hit me.
Do you know what got me as well?
What?
Yondu.
That was the bit that got me the most. That hit me the hardest.
As soon as Sean saw Yondu, I was like...
You wouldn't think that'd be the biggest thing.
And
that
then he
hit
did
me.
His little smile and I was like, oh.
That was the worst part for me.
Yeah.
There was a couple of moments, and Anthony was just gone completely, fair play, but there were a couple of moments where I was like, I was starting to tear up, And then I saw, the moment I saw it, even, the moment I heard Yondu's voice, I was like, oh no. And then when you saw him, I was like, oh, I'm gone.
And then when someone walked past and he disappeared, I was just gone again. Like, I was
devastated.
Just,
no. How, can I just say that, right? How good is James Gunn? You've got a CGI raccoon. You've got CGI, clearly CGI, obviously. I mean, like, you know, not that they were trying to go for like realistic, but not even that realistic looking characters.
Yeah.
With robot arms and the talking animals and all that sort of stuff. It's so stupid. And somehow, in like,
it moved you to tears.
15 minutes worth of screen time max, if that. And it's just like, you're just completely devastated when they die, and they don't even have to be dying. Just when they're talking about getting out, and you know deep down they're not going to get out. Yeah. Just that conversation was enough to make just like
conversation about the sky.
Exactly. James Gunn, genius.
I know.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Fantastic writing, and again, not from a criticism perspective, but to take a story that again wasn't that much to it. It didn't feel important, but still you've got there and you're just emotionally just wrecked
by the time
you get to the end of it.
Yeah.
It's made me think that kind of, I suppose, probably should have left this bit for the end, but I'd be kind of happy now. I'm not saying I am. I think that was a perfect end. I think it's a perfect end for Guardians of the Galaxy. Spot on. Yeah. I could walk away from Marvel now. I genuinely could. Not going to.
Yeah.
But I feel like after how mediocre Marvel's been for the last couple of years, since Endgame, basically, it's had some good movies. I mean, No Way Home was good. Shang-Chi was good. But it's just not captured the original magic of the MCU for years. And I don't even think Shang-Chi and No Way Home, they were great films, but they still weren't. They just didn't feel like MCU. I think this is the first movie since Endgame that's felt like a proper classic MCU movie.
Yeah.
And that's obviously the fact that we've had James Gunn back and we've got all the original cast back. But I feel like it was a perfect note to wrap up. I'd have been, if something had come up and was like, that's the end of the MCU now, guys.
Yeah.
I'd be, even though it doesn't wrap up the majority of characters,
yeah,
still feel like it's just a good ending.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I need more Guardians.
No.
I want more Guardians.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be upset if I never saw one of the Guardians of the Galaxy again, because I feel like it wrapped it up perfectly. Yeah. And it's also made me think, and this maybe this is kind of telling of what I've just said, I kind of think that from watching that and how good that was, and then rethinking about how good the first two Guardians were, I think DC's it now. I think I think that
the dawn of DC.
This is it. Yeah. I mean, look at that. Look what he's done. Look what James Gunn has done with the most random characters.
Yeah.
Who,
yeah,
again, we've said this before, 15 years ago, if somebody had told you we're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, you wouldn't have had a clue they were talking about.
Yeah.
If they'd explained to you what the Guardians of the Galaxy was, you'd have been like, why are they doing that? You wouldn't be sitting there thinking that's probably the best trilogy.
Yeah.
It's the most solid trilogy in the MCU by a mile. So you wouldn't think that. So if he can do that with random characters, what's he going to do with Superman and Batman?
I know.
I just think that's it. And I think this is possibly where you are going to now see the MCU sort of start playing second fiddle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm all right with it. Because we've had 15 years of amazing MCU.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've had 15 years of disappointing DC. So it's going to be quite nice to see DC do something. Really good, yeah. So I'm excited by that. Should we talk characters a bit then? We've already talked characters a little bit anyway.
Yeah.
But let's talk characters. Do we need to say any more about Rocket? Other than it was boss?
I just understand him so much more.
Mm-hmm. He seems like a different character now.
Do you know what? Do you know what really resonated with me? Because I literally watched Guardians 2 last week. When that fight that Rocket and Star-Lord have when they're getting off the ship, when he says, why the hell are you pushing away the only people that love you?
Yeah.
If you want everyone to think you're an asshole, you're doing a great job of it. Well done. Or something, as he walks away. And Rocket just kind of stands there and stares at him. And now I pulls the heartstrings completely. And I'm like, I know exactly why now.
But it's the same for the crew.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they didn't know.
No.
They didn't know. So they've lived that much in real time. In real with time us. With you. Yeah. I think Lila was right. It kind of now does feel like it was his story.
Oh, and also his scream when we thought Rocket was dead.
Oh, pieces.
The scream, that got me.
It all got me.
It all got me.
I was just thinking the very first time he'd been operated on, he got put in the cage, and the first time, and he's gone. The first words he ever said, first words Rocket said, hurt.
Yeah.
Because his head.
And do you know what got me as well?
Horrible.
Drax.
I think I've got it in me to watch this again. I don't think I've got it in me to watch this movie again.
Drax.
And he's proper gone.
I'm properly gone. Nebula says to him about being a dad, he wasn't born to be a destroyer, he was born to be a dad. And I was gone.
Yeah, I was gone there as well. Do you know what?
It was all just beautiful. It was a perfect ending for them all.
For every single character. Mantis sort of grown into her own.
Yeah.
Being able to walk away.
She said, I've been doing what everyone else wants to do. I now want to do what I want to do. And I just thought, perfect.
But she's gone from being what you would class as a bit of a stupid character to being, she's powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw him fight, kicking ass. When she was in that organic thing.
When she booted that guy.
No, well, I was
security guard, that shocked me. That.
I was thinking more like she jumped on the first dude, just like, you're a card. And you just want to dance. And he's like booging away.
The way he danced though. It was so funny. And you're amazing. Totally in love with Drax.
This is so good. so funny.
The banter between them was so on it,
the whole team.
But all the way through, dickheads, everyone just gave each other
bleep
shit.
The hell out of this. The dickheads, the assholes, all that sort of stuff.
It was so funny.
It was brilliant.
It was
the dynamic between them all is amazing. I think one of the... And everyone had massive character arcs. So Mantis had a big character arc. Star-Lord did. The fact that at the end he's gone back home.
Yeah.
So he's gone back home to his grandpa.
That got me. He didn't even need to say anything. He just went Peter. He knew after 30 years, he knew it was him.
It just all hit, just all killed me.
And also,
all of it.
What made me laugh? I'm not 50.
Oh, it was all so
it
good.
It was so
who else
funny.
Did we have? So we had, do you know who the biggest one for me? Genuinely, Nebula.
Yeah.
Look at Nebula. Where we
started with her.
To where we leave her. She's gonna run
the community.
Exactly. And she's smiling and she's dancing with the kids.
Yeah.
And then we look at Nebula the first time we ever met her in Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Yeah.
And she wasn't evil. She was obviously completely ruined by her dad.
Yeah, yeah.
But just look at the difference there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a little bit rooting for Nebula and Star-Lord. I was kind of like this. Let's have this be a thing, but it would have felt a bit weird. But just how emotionally invested that character was in everybody else.
Yeah,
like how devastated she was when Rocket we all thought Rocket was dead.
It was her reaction when he said that he was when she heard him on comms.
Yeah, yeah,
that got me. Because she just went speechless for a second. Over her mouth, everything.
And I can't remember who she said it by, but she said numerous times, she referred to the fact that they all love each other. And she loves people. She loves Drax and she loves Rocket and stuff that. And it's Nebula.
Yeah.
It's Nebula. And she's still a complete badass. At the very start when Adam attacks and she gets that jetpack on and the arm cannon. She's so formidable.
Yeah.
But she's just become a sweetheart at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a drastic character change, but it doesn't feel forced and it doesn't feel silly or stupid.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get character changes in movies and you go, how the hell have you gone from that to that? And this was so extreme.
Yeah.
But you just run with it and it makes sense.
Yeah.
Probably because you've seen it being drip fed through so many movies.
Yeah.
But just such a good character arc.
What about Drax?
Drax, again, I loved how powerful Drax was in this.
Yeah.
Because he feels like in a lot of movies he's been in, he's kind of like, and again, I was worried taking him from the comics. Not in the comics, he's like, in the comics, he killed Thanos.
Yeah.
That's how powerful Drax was in the comics.
Yeah.
And he's never been that powerful in the movies. He's always just kind of been there. Bit scary looking, but never actually had the ability to do anything.
Yeah.
So when Adam attacked and Drax
and
stepped
he held
up,
his own.
I was like, here we go. Drax is going to get his ass kicked in 2 seconds. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, Drax is kicking his ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, brilliant, we've got powerful Drax. And then we stuck with powerful Drax for the whole film.
All the way through.
Again, massive shift in dynamic, but I loved it. It's what we should have seen so far.
Totally kept the humour.
Yeah.
But we got so much out of him in this.
Yeah, we did.
And that, again, that whole dad thing and the kids that were locked in and all of that. I loved it. Mm. Absolutely loved everything about it. The moment when he said to Mantis, do you think I'm stupid?
Oh, bless him.
That got me in itself.
Yeah.
I'm not going this time. I'm holding it back.
Keep us together.
Like, that got me. And then she told him to forget. And then he just went straight back to the Drax that we've known so far and stuff like that.
I think that is a massive shout to Dave Bautista, though.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that James Gunn necessarily thought this, but I think a lot of, you get the ex-wrestler, you get the ex-wrestler moving to Hollywood, and you put them in big dumb roles.
Yeah,
you don't give them many lines. No. You don't really give them the ability to act too much.
No,
and some of them can't. This isn't a massive dig at The Rock, but The Rock's not like a great actor, is he? Let's be honest. The Rock couldn't have done that.
No.
So James Gunn has given Dave Bautista the opportunity to act his ass off in this.
Yeah.
And he did it.
And he nailed it.
He wasn't just the big stupid guy from the first two movies. He acted. He was good. He's always had that, like, you know, that emotional link with Mantis since obviously volume two as well.
Yeah.
And he's always had, you could tell there was a deeper story to him.
Yeah.
But again, we kind of got the ability to explore it a little bit more in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoyed Drax.
I really enjoyed him.
I'm so glad he didn't die.
I'm glad he didn't die.
I don't think we'll ever, we're never going to see the guy again.
Yeah,
that is the last time we see Drax.
And that's what I was going to say to you. I was worried that we weren't going to get the best out of him because we know obviously what went on between the second and third film and James Gunn being dropped and then picked back up and... Because he was quite vocal about that. He didn't really play any holdbacks, did he?
He was like, if James Gunn's going, I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. So I was worried that we weren't going to get Drax at his best.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But we did.
Maybe that's why we got Drax as we got Drax.
Yeah.
Because on the first two... And I know he's older now, but on the first two Guardians movies, and probably up until James Gunn got fired, Drax was the big, clearly spends 6 hours a day in the gym, putting a lot of effort in that way.
Yeah.
And maybe because he's thought, can't be asked for this anymore, I'll just do it because I've contracted and James has come back.
Yeah.
He's not done that because he didn't. There was no moment in this where he had his shirt off and he was the big...
No, he had the jacket on all the way
through. All the way through, yeah.
Or the jumpsuit.
Exactly. Maybe they've seen that as an opportunity to give him more of a fleshed out character rather than just having him going and fighting all the time.
Yeah.
But whatever happened, it worked. It was cracking.
Yeah. It worked for all of them. I'd loved everybody's own journey in that film.
And everybody had a proper full journey. There was nobody in there. Possibly Groot, but Groot's not really I don't feel like he's really that much of a character. What do you do with Groot?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's just your Inspector Gadget, isn't he?
Yeah, he was good. All the stuff. much of the stuff he can do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant.
Amazing.
The head crawling around. Yeah. All the arms and everything like that coming out.
Do you know what? I must admit, I loved... After we saw him as the head, I was like, well, where do we go from here with this?
Because I thought they were going to have to
put him in a plant pot again.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was actually growing, and it was like you were seeing... The nervous system.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was so clever. Like, really brilliant clever. The way they did it. And then, obviously, like, the tricks with the guns.
Bringing them all out.
We did see that in the trailer, but there was also the bomb that he'd hidden inside. And
yeah.
Basically, it was just like a storage box.
Yeah.
All the way through.
But he was good.
And then...
The best bit.
He jumped out of the ship.
Go Kaiju.
And he got wings.
Oh, no, I was thinking the Kaiju bit when they landed on Counter-Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And
all the
people are attacking and Nebula just goes, Groot, go Kaiju. And he just turns into this huge monster with like a big scary face and stuff like that.
That was funny.
Was amazing. Yeah, Absolutely amazing. Really the wings were a bit... The wings were a bit stupid.
They were stupid.
They were a little bit stupid.
But I was still okay with it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, we get fully the first time we see a fully grown Groot. Yeah, I was about to say Drax then, but we've never seen a fully grown Groot in MCU.
No.
So it's the first time we've seen that, which obviously must mean that that's a little bit further ahead in the future then. Post credit scene. Should we talk post credit scenes then? So there were two. Have we done characters?
We've done Groot. We've done characters. Can we do cameos first before we talk about?
Should we do cameos first? I want to talk about some of the scenes as well. Right. Yeah. We'll do post credit scenes in a minute.
So first
cameos.
All,
right. Nathan Fillion.
I was so chuffed to see that Nathan Fillion's name came up at the beginning. I was like, "Who is he?"
Yeah.
Because I was just excited to see whoever he was, and he was funny as hell.
He was good. All he's the always way good. Any Fillion.
When he was talking about the one that he gets lumped with in his team.
Yeah.
Like, it was so nasty, but so funny. It was brilliant. Like, he just his delivery of every line that he did, it was just spot on.
Yeah. He's solid, isn't he?
And that whole he's fight never gonna, scene
and he doesn't
there
steal
brilliant.
The show either.
No.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
good, but he's not.
He does it where he stands out, but he's respectful at the same time.
And if you don't know who Nathan Fillion is, you'd still recognize him. You'd be like, that's that dude from that thing.
Yeah,
I can't remember who he is,
or
who he played, but I know I've seen that dude before. But yeah, he's absolutely boss. And again, he's done a lot of stuff with James Gunn, hasn't he?
Yes.
In the past.
Yeah.
Who else did we get? So we already said we got Judy Greer.
Yeah.
As Warpig.
We got Sylvester Stallone back.
We got Sly Stallone as Stakar.
Yeah.
Which surprised me.
It surprised me as well.
Yeah, and we didn't get all of them. We didn't get Michelle Yeoh back.
We didn't get Michelle Yeoh.
We got Tara Strong voicing Mainframe.
We did.
Instead of Miley.
Yeah.
We got Michael Rosenbaum back as Martin X.
Yeah.
AKA Lex Luthor from Smallville. And then who else did
we get? We got the, what was his name? The seller, not the seller.
Oh, the broker.
The broker.
We got the broker back from the first one.
I'm doing so well with names here.
We've already said we've got Linda Cardellini as Lila.
Not Linda Carter.
No, not Linda Carter. You confused me then. Jennifer Holland was the administrator who was doing the thing, James Gunn's wife.
Yeah.
And did you get on to the fact that Uhura, the receptionist, the red lady who Peter was flirting with, that was Danielle Melchior from Suicide Squad, Ratcatcher.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't get onto that.
Yeah.
And we also got a little voice cameo from James Gunn himself.
We did.
He was Lamshank. The little disgusting thing that was in the that was in the cage that scared the shit out of Mantis.
So good.
So
funny.
That
was the perfect cameo as well.
It was brilliant. It was
absolutely spot on. And dead unexpected.
Yeah.
For it to, when it popped up as well.
Right. Also, I've got to say this. Sean Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, he kept doing the little run away, like he was kind of half running away from fights.
Oh yeah,
mate. So I thought he was acting when he did the weasel, but that was the weasel
that
run.
That was the weasel run.
Did you notice?
No.
Oh, watch it back because you'll be like,
I can't watch that again.
That's how
I can't watch this movie again. I've not got the energy to watch this again.
Oh my god, I'm gonna need at least 3 months.
Beers and months. Let's stick with the 3 month release window before we bring this to Disney Plus.
Yeah,
because I'm 100%.
Oh, I'll be watching this the second it comes out on Disney Plus.
I really want to watch it again because it was fantastic.
It was so
I'm good. Not even, this isn't even just me.
I think I need to watch it on my own so I can have a good cry and just let it all out.
I think I'm going to struggle sitting through that again.
Do you?
Yeah, but in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is.
Not like, oh, boring. It's just a hard.
So much and so emotional.
Hard movie.
Yeah.
But there's so many highlights to it. And even though obviously there's a lot of sad things going on it, there's a lot of like excellent moments.
Yeah, yeah.
So the ones that stood out for me, where again action scenes really, so the Adam Warlock fight at the start,
yes,
that was great, really
that was
that.
Really good.
Yeah, do you know what, there was a moment before he got there where it was the very first time we saw Adam Warlock,
yeah,
and he's just flying towards the screen.
Yeah,
it looked really cheesy in 80s.
I thought that, but it gave me Flash Gordon vibes,
full on, like not even green screen,
no,
blue screen. Remember blue screen?
Yeah,
it looked like that. It looked crap.
Yeah.
But it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's clearly what he was... I assume that's what he was going... If he wasn't going for that, he's lucky because it came across that way.
I sat there and thought, Flash Gordon crossed with Never-Ending Story.
Yes.
It was those kind of vibes
that
I got.
It looked absolutely spot on. It looked crap, but it looked perfect. So the whole fight scene on Nowhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
There was the fight scene where... the fight scene with Rocket... Not Rocket. The fight scene with, I'll think of it in a minute, Star-Lord and Groot, where they jumped out.
Yes.
You'd seen that one in the trailers.
Yeah.
But it was still really good.
Yeah.
The best one was Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It just went on forever. It was amazing. So Kingsman.
Yes.
Just all the way through, it reminded me of Kingsman.
Yeah,
I could watch that again.
That's the corridor one, isn't it?
The corridor one. I could watch that again.
Was it all in one shot as well?
It won't have been. It's made to look like it was all in one shot. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but it came across as...
And then the octopus chicken man, whatever that thing was.
Oh, when
the Gamora fought.
Yeah, yeah.
In that scene. Like, the whole thing. I loved the whole thing.
From the moment No Sleep Till Brooklyn came on, though, it was amazing. So just the whole thing of where we need to go and save Mantis and Drax and Nebula, and then they come through the wall riding those Orlocks or whatever they're called. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know what they're called.
Well, it's when they said we need to save them, and you just saw them in the background. Yeah.
It looked amazing.
As they jumped out.
And Mantis is like, did that look cool?
Yeah.
But yes, it did look cool. And then
what were they called? Obelisks or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The moment, and again, it wasn't an action piece, but it was just before that corridor thing, and it's when Peter's saying, we need to run.
Yeah.
Gamora's like, we need to just go.
Yeah.
There's a bit of an argument of, like, do we get the kids or do we not get the kids? And Rocket's just like, I'm not running anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was how the team, like, reacted to that, because Rocket's, like, obviously had to have a think about it, and he's gone.
Groot was straight in
it was
there.
Just like, if no he's question. Going, I'm going.
Yeah.
I don't have to think about this. I'm following Rocket.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's when he was the leader.
Yeah.
That was him as the leader.
Yeah.
Everyone followed. And even Gamora, who didn't want to really do it.
She kind of did that little head shake and she was like, I can't not.
I've got to follow these guys now.
That was pretty...
Language!
The biggest one for me is Nebula.
Yeah.
The fact that she didn't even think twice either.
She's in now.
She was just like, I'm going with, this is my family. Family now.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with my family. So good. And then again, that whole corridor fight was just phenomenal. And then the last fight where because I thought it was just going to be Rocket versus the the dude.
They all just flew in
High
from nowhere and just
all of them coming in one by one.
The entrepreneur.
The High Evolutionary. That was amazing. The fact that they all came in
brilliant.
And they all beat him.
But again, like, you know, we said about it being gory before, like when they took his mask off.
Yeah,
like,
when you saw the bit of it hanging off, I was like, where's this going? What's going to be underneath this? And when they started, like, when she was like slowly peeling it off, I was like, I was a little bit like, Jim's sitting right next to me.
I was like, are we going to see it? Is it going to be like a back of the head, you don't quite see it thing, and everyone kind of just react off their reactions kind of thing? But
it was
You got
graphic
Evil Dead type face.
It was like half Evil Dead, half Red Skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good though. Graphic though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised this wasn't a 15.
I'm surprised it wasn't a 15.
A little bit. We got the F-bomb as well. We're trying to keep it clean, but we've said it. That I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
And it was
still made me laugh.
It still made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was, and if I hadn't known it was coming, I'd have been like, Did he just say that?
Do you know what I was really hoping for?
What?
You know when Drax was on the sofa?
Yeah.
I was hoping that he was going to think he was invisible again because he was going so slowly moving back down to the sofa to lie down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. I was gutted because I was like, that would have been just the perfect moment to bring that back for just a split second and just remind everyone.
But that, again, but, I know we've already mentioned it, that was so dark.
You kind of not
got to know them, but to a degree got to know this little family and saw that it's a normal society.
Yeah.
And then when he's like, I'm going to wipe them all out, I was like, how are the Guardians going to save these people? Because the Guardians are going to save these people. Somehow they're going to save this. And then... It's like they're not, and like Gamora running, holding Rocket, and like little old ladies just getting blown up, and families
and
of kids,
people with the prams, and
it was
so dark.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it came across as like so heavy.
Yeah, but it was so good.
It was amazing. It was brilliant.
I really enjoyed every second of it.
I did, apart from a little bit of the slow bits though.
Like I didn't mind them because there was so much fast paced stuff all the way through.
It was all well constructed.
It was forgivable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it all had a purpose. I suppose you just didn't know it at the time.
No.
But I do feel like you're not going to... As good as it was, I'm not sure. And it's not a bad thing because I think when something's so good and it shocks you so much and it gets you so emotional, I don't feel like it's got huge rewatchability. But I feel... I'm trying to say that in a positive way because it's not going to shock you and it's not going to make you feel because it's not fresh.
Because it's not the first time anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and I feel like a lot of the power of that movie was how much it hit you.
There's a lot of movies like that before. Like, because I've sat there and gone, God, I wish I was watching this for the first time again.
Yeah. And Endgame. Imagine watching Endgame again for the first time. Somebody just
Infinity
wiping
War. That ending in Infinity War. Like,
to be fair,
anything MCU up until shocking.
Yeah.
It's just that whole thing of you enjoy that thrill of being in that moment and feeling that emotion. And then when you watch it again, you remember that and you go, God, I wish I was feeling that all over
again.
But
I think when you get a movie that does that to you and shocks you that much and hits you so hard emotionally that's not just full of action, I don't think it's necessarily got the rewatchability. I think Endgame and Infinity War can get away with it because it's full of action and you still get entertained by the action. And I'm not saying I'm not going to get entertained by this, but it wasn't an action-heavy movie. It was very emotional and drama to a degree. And I think that's maybe why it's not going to have, for me personally, that much rewatchability. But that's not me saying that as a negative. That shows how much it hit me. But brilliant. Should we do post-credits?
Yes.
So we had two post-credits.
We did.
We had the new Guardians of the Galaxy, led by Rocket, clearly a few years into the future because Groot's massive. The little kid was bigger.
Yes.
I feel like she was bigger, or she was made to look bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Captain Marvel type powers?
Possibly, Something along those lines,
yeah. Kraglin, Adam Warlock as a Guardian. We're never going to see that dude again.
No.
Never going to see that guy again. But again, it kind of... I liked it. I liked that team.
Yeah.
I liked seeing a new team of Guardians. I love Rocket as the...
And I love that he played... what's the song called? And he was like, this one's my favourite.
Oh, yeah.
And he played... It's from
Come and Get Your Love.
From the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was... It's the one that opens Come and Get Your Love. Star-Lord walking into the thing.
By Redbone, I think they're called.
But yeah, I just love that whole section.
Talking about music, I know we're going back, but Florence and the Machine, The Dog Days Are Over.
Oh, I cried again.
Yeah, that hit me hard.
Yeah, yeah.
That was brilliant. It was so good. And again, a bit silly because they were all dancing, but I was like, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So well done, so well done. And then the last post-credit scene, which not really much happened. What was he doing? Was he talking to his grandpa about like having to tell some guy to go and mow the grass?
Yeah, I think it was his grandpa's new wife's son.
And he was like, I don't like mow. It's basically stepbrothers.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
But I love the little nod in the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Abduction, Kevin Bacon Kevin shares Bacon. All. I was laughing was my good. Head off at that. I thought, okay, brilliant.
It was
love
brilliant.
That was on there.
And then we got told the legendary Star-Lord will return.
Yeah. So
he's Chris not Pratt's done. Back.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be the only one.
Yeah.
In the car, I was thinking, on the way home, I was thinking, we're going to get them all back for Secret Invasion or Secret Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure about anybody other than Star-Lord now.
No.
I think Gamora's story is
Gamora's done.
Drax, completely.
Because of Dave Bautista.
We know Dave Bautista's not coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Mantis again. I don't want a Mantis spin-off.
No.
Don't do it. We don't need it.
No.
You just take a character who's really good and well loved because of how intentional everything every time you see her, how intentionally good it is and how well you write the script. If you go and try and throw an entire series of Mantis in, you're just gonna get bored of her. You need her in small doses. But that was my first thought.
When she
went off and did her own thing, I was like, I don't now need a Rocket movie and a Groot movie and a Mantis movie and a Star-Lord movie. I don't need a Star-Lord movie.
No.
We don't. Star-Lord now should just...
I don't think I want one.
No, I don't. Like, I don't want any individual movies.
I
don't want
another
Guardians movie.
I'm not too fussed about Star-Lord's return.
I'm not fussed about Star-Lord's return. I don't really see him as having much of a place.
I loved Star-Lord in the first one. After that,
I liked him in this one as well, though.
Yeah, but he starts to fall back a bit compared to others for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I enjoyed other people's stories more than I enjoyed his.
Mm.
And that's the thing. I didn't mind him in the second one, but I was enjoying everybody else in the group during the second one.
Yes, I know what you mean.
And then I found the same again with this one. So when they've been like, the legendary Star-Lord will return, I was just like, meh.
As long as
he's with a group of other people,
but he will be
only boring.
Yeah, we don't need it. Well, I don't think he'd be boring. I'm sure they'd do a good job of it. But we don't want or need a Star-Lord movie.
No.
Star-Lord needs to pop up as part of an ensemble cast.
Yeah, yeah.
In whatever they're doing going forward. But I still don't know how he's going to fit because he's got no powers. He's just a dude with a gun.
What if he... I mean, all I can think is
I don't want
that,
more Guardians. I'm happy to say goodbye to the Guardians now.
What I was going
to
say was...
As devastated as I am, but yeah, that's it.
I'd think that he'd either be ground level.
Yeah.
So, you know, we might see him with Ant-Man or with, you know, somebody that's kind of...
Cap.
Something like that.
Cap,
yeah.
Bucky. Thunderbolts?
Thunderbolts, yeah.
Oh, my God. What if he put Star-Lord in Thunderbolts? I'm good with that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 100%
on board. The only other option, really, is if he ends up with Nick Fury in the space, because he knows space better than they do.
Yeah.
Because he could end up being like an intelligence person.
Yeah. Intelligence, I'm not sure. Well, I know it's not going to happen. I know myself on it. I'm sold on Star-Lord and the Thunderbolts. I'm sold on that. And it wouldn't surprise me if they'd kept him out of promo art. So
I would
they didn't
wet
ruin the
myself
ending.
Laughing if he was in Thunderbolts. And his new love interest was Yelena, and she was just like, get out my face.
Yeah. Oh, please do that.
Be hilarious.
No one's listening, but yeah. Do that. I'm 100% on board with that. But yeah, that's us.
That was it. It was so amazing. Can I just mention one more thing that I really loved? The moment.
We've probably missed loads, but.
After Mantis has said she's going, that look between Drax and Mantis at the end.
Yeah.
That killed me.
No. There's so many moments.
It was just so good.
I know.
Like, I know we sound like we were ripping it apart at the beginning, but like...
We're critiquing it. It wasn't perfect.
Yeah. No, it's not a perfect film.
I've not seen a perfect Marvel movie.
No.
Infinity War was probably as close to it as you're going to get.
Yeah. But as a general, that's one of my favourites since Infinity War and Endgame.
So there's a few things I've heard. I'm not really listening to the critics' responses to it because I can't be bothered.
No.
I know that's technically what we're doing, but I can't be bothered. So I've heard some people say it's the best MCU movie since Endgame. And I would 1,000,000% agree.
Yeah.
Same. There's nothing, and I don't even think it's close.
No.
I don't think anything. We said this again on the way there. No Way Home was amazing.
Yeah.
But No Way Home was also a nostalgia fest.
Yes.
And if you took away the nostalgia, it was... average.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it though.
Yeah.
It was a really good movie. Shang-Chi, fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed Shang-Chi. This was on a different level.
It was.
This was, I'd argue it was not as good as Endgame.
You're kind of wrapping up a journey there though. So
yeah, it felt like the
Endgame
of space.
I don't feel like it can be compared against Shang-Chi where you were learning about a whole group of new characters.
Yeah.
So it can't have the same effect.
No, but
as
I also
like
think
this,
that the writing was better. I mean, and again, that's not a dig at Shang-Chi. I think it's just better.
Hey, listen, Trevor.
No, I know. It was just better though. It was just better. Some people have said that it's the best MCU movie ever.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I wouldn't. But I had to, I'd have, no, okay, it's not the best MCU movie ever. But I had to think about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't don't be stupid, of course.
I'd say
that
one now would probably fall within top five.
I probably would as well. We're going to have to do a new Marvel ranking, aren't we? I'd probably put that in my top five.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
It's just.
Just, yeah, just.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going with top five. Infinity War. But this is a really quick Marvel ranking. Infinity War is definitely number one.
Yeah.
I'd probably then put Endgame at number two.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, I'd put Winter Soldier at number three.
You would, yeah.
And then I'd probably go Guardians 3.
And then Ragnarok.
Yeah, I'd put it above Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And Ragnarok's one of my favorites.
But I'd put them kind of almost neck and neck. I'd say this just trumps Ragnarok ever so slightly.
But then I also think Thor Love and Thunder then drags Ragnarok down below it.
Don't put them in the same... No.
I know, but that's
don't let
I'm
Love
saying.
And Thunder destroy what was Ragnarok.
Love and Thunder has tarnished Ragnarok.
No, it hasn't.
Just a little bit.
Keep
but no. There you go. I'd put this at number four.
Yeah.
As much as I love Winter Soldier, I know I'm fresh from watching it, but I'd possibly put it on par with that. That was just... It was great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
The critics, who, I mean, how could you slate that?
No.
I don't get it at all. Don't get it at all. Shall we...
Fussy buggers.
Fussy,
that's what they are.
fussy buggers. Shall we see what the listeners think? Shall we do pod fans?
God, I forgot about this bit. Yeah.
Pod fans assemble.
Okay, so Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is finally here, and we wanted to know what you thought of it. 5% hated it.
Who hated that? Come on!
I mean...
We should have put a thing on this. Do you like Marvel movies? Yes. Okay, now you can vote.
Yeah.
Because I assume that people... But again, why would you go and watch... We put this out. This poll closed like hours ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you've seen this movie, if you've actually seen it,
yeah,
then you've gone to watch this on the first... Either the first day in US or yeah, the first 48 hours UK.
Yeah.
So if you care that much to go and watch that movie, so you must be a Marvel fan. How could you have watched that and hated it?
I imagine.
I'm not going to sit here. I'm not sitting here and saying it's perfect.
Maybe it's a Chris Pratt hater.
It could be a Chris Pratt hater. It's probably someone who's just not watched it and just doesn't like Marvel movies and seen it and just gone, I'm just going to put it in.
Yeah.
Long live the Snyderverse.
Fair. Well, so we got another 5% that said it was okay.
Okay. I can do math. I can see where this
but
is going.
But that means a whopping 90% loved it.
Yeah. That must be the highest we've ever had.
I think it is the highest. I think we've had 100 before on something.
Have we?
I'm sure we had a perfect score on something.
She-Hulk episode 2.
good joke.
It's good.
Well done.
Thank you.
You can stay. Good. Rachel Miller said, thank you, James Gunn. A perfect send-off. It's made with love, heart and sincerity. The fact that it didn't link to anything else was a very good thing. It was a strength. It is head and shoulders above recent films in every way. I cried for 2.5 hours. Amazing. Rachel like Miller, I've topped you. I've cried for 4.
I feel like I need to unpack what Rachel's just said there. And this sounds really cheesy. And I know he's not listening. Thank you, James Gunn.
Oh, no.
That trilogy
genuinely
was amazing.
Yeah.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
What else did she say? Cry for 2.5 hours. I don't really cry at movies. I tear up, but I don't really cry. Anthony does.
I had tears down my cheeks.
Does he?
I just did it in the podcast. I really didn't think I was going to cry.
I did.
No, I genuinely thought I'd hold it back. I didn't. I felt my chin going. I knew it was coming. And I couldn't stop it.
Teeth's in the car and he started crying.
Stop it.
What else? What was the thing that Rachel said in the middle?
It's made with love, heart and sincerity.
Oh, it's not connected to anything else?
Yeah.
Loved that.
Yeah.
Loved that.
But I loved that it was connected to every previous film. There was something from everything.
The Guardians movie, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 I agree.
So, you know, in his own way, he managed to bring everything back that made it what it was. Mm. So, you know, the fact that he brought back obelisks or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Because that was the opening scene for the second film and everyone loved that so much. But we didn't really know what they were, where it had come from or anything because we were focused on Groot and it was the fight in the background. So the fact that we got a little bit about that was amazing. The fact that we got the vision of Yondu back again, all of that kind of stuff.
And the fact that it was a direct continuation from the Christmas special.
Yeah.
If you'd not seen the Christmas special, you wouldn't know what they were talking about.
No.
You'd go... Mantis is Peter's brother and sister. Why
Kevin
are they on
Bacon
nowhere?
Newspaper article.
Exactly.
The fact that we had the announcement of Adam Warlock.
Yes.
And then they've actually used him in the next film. Mm. How long has it been since we've had that?
Ages. Since Guardians.
Because normally something gets teased and then we don't see it for 10 years.
I know.
So it's just nice that everything was brought together. The mention of the Infinity Stones.
Was the mention of the Infinity Stone?
Yeah, yeah.
In this?
Yeah.
When?
At the beginning.
Don't remember that.
Star-Lord talked about it in the lift when he was telling Udo? What's her name?
Uda.
When he was telling her about the story of him and Gamora, and then he was like, you know, Infinity Stones still don't really get how they work or something. He was saying something along those lines. So it's just, there's been a nod to everything that happened.
I was probably opening the Starburst. I missed that bit.
But in their own storyline, since kind of the introduction of them. So I just loved the fact it just tied everything up in some way. So yeah, I just loved it.
I agree with all that.
Yeah, completely.
Perfect.
So Sheldon Pink said, so watched it a few hours ago. Really wish I'd binged the first two before I went, but it was a spur of the moment thing. Anywho, I digress. I thought it was, insert appropriate expletive here, magnificent. I'll say for you, Sheldon.
Language!
Magnificent.
I'll bleep that.
He rolls his eyes at me and everything. He said, moving, funny and action-packed, so many emotional moments.
Magnificent is a big word, but it's completely correct.
Yeah, totally. And then Ross said, watched it last night, absolutely loved it, best of the trilogy.
Oh, definitely. Which I'm surprised. I know it didn't do as well as I love them all. love Guardians. I love Guardians 1. I think, again, that was probably... This has probably replaced it in my top five.
Yeah.
Because I think Guardians 1 was probably in my top five. But I love Guardians 1. I loved Guardians 2. I know a lot of people didn't like it.
I love Guardians 2.
I think, it was because of the emotional...
Yeah.
The whole Yondu thing is just
fantastic.
But I think that's just...
I wasn't a massive fan of the ego storyline bit.
No, it was a bit weak. But then so was
This wasn't a super strong story. Like, the Yondu thing made up for that 100%. Whole situation. Like,
the whole emotional investment in all the characters all the way through, the whole Nebula Gamora fighting each other.
All of it worked.
Rocket, which you now know, like you said.
Yeah.
The ego story was a stupid story, but the actual message from it of Peter meeting his dad evil, it worked perfectly. Yeah. But it could have been anything else, but still would have worked.
Exactly. I mean, hello said, cried like a baby several times during this thrilling, funny and heart-wrenching swan song to Marvel's Greatest Misfits. The action and FXs were all top-notch and at times dazzling. It does get a bit silly. Warlock seemed tacked on and the High Evolutionary was a good but not great villain. Yet the success of Guardians of the Galaxy has always rested on the very real chemistry and charisma of its superb cast, which is exactly what we've just said.
Yeah.
They will be missed. And if Gunn can make a movie as impressive as this for DC, then we're in very good hands indeed.
There you go. I am so looking forward to James Gunn's DC.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to Superman, though.
Oh, yeah.
What's the guy going... Again, I mean, these characters.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with Superman?
Exactly.
And Superman has been crying out for a different take on Superman. And I know Snyder's different take was different. I enjoyed Man of Steel. I really enjoyed Man of Steel.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know we can pick holes in the whole DCU, as it was called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's got its negatives. But I actually think, from a Snyder perspective, the issues were the studio getting involved.
Yeah.
And if you look at the director, I think Batman vs Superman was a little bit long. But, I mean, I really enjoyed it.
I fell asleep three times.
Exactly.
It was more than a little bit long.
It was very long. But Man of Steel is a fantastic movie.
Man of Steel is a brilliant, really good film. Movie. Yeah, yeah.
Zack Snyder's Justice League, it's 4 hours, it's long. I think it's brilliant. I really enjoy Zack Snyder's Justice League. I think it's a little bit tarnished by Joss Whedon's version, but I really enjoy Snyder's Justice League.
It's up and down, I'd say that.
I think it's really good. I think the biggest issue I would have with it is the fact that it is 4 hours long.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you'd given Snyder 2.5 hours... Not that he's gone mental with it or anything like that, but he's had the ability to make that a 4-hour movie and do what he wants.
Did you go back and check the 17 verse song that they sang for Aquaman yet?
I need to go back and watch that. I need to watch that. I just think, though, if the only interference from the studio for Zack Snyder's Justice League, not the Whedon one, for Zack Snyder's Justice League was, you need to get this into 2.5 hours, I think that would have been a phenomenal movie. It was totally. Again, it was just a little bit too long and a little bit dragged out in parts. Condensing that to 2.5 hours would have been amazing. But it didn't happen. But that's why, again, James Gunn, I've got big high hopes for James Gunn. Should we do patron shout outs?
Yes, let's do it.
So thanks to Geekin 8, Kenneth, Knight Spearhead, Richard, Jessica, Avid Gamer, Sheldon and Michael for supporting the show. Patrons get exclusive access to our bonus podcast Into the Podverse with brand new episodes every month. Last month we did Wonder Woman. Oh god, I keep forgetting to watch that. We did Wonder Woman 1984. This month, we've not recorded it yet, we'll get it done over the next couple of weeks, we are doing Sky High. It's our not bad movie commentary. You don't seem to be too excited about this. It's good.
Okay.
I promise it's good. It's rubbish, but it's good.
Okay.
But in a good way. Good is the word.
I'll take your word for it.
You will. You'll enjoy it. I really reckon you'll enjoy it. Patrons also get discounts off merch and the ability to listen to the show being recorded live every week. We haven't done it live this week because it's 5 past midnight. If you'd like to access all that extra content and support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/thatsuperherothing or hit the link in the description. Other than that, thanks for listening. Don't forget to come back next episode for our interview with Richard Citrone.
Yeah,
we won't be here. Anthony's in a musical.
I'll be singing and dancing.
Not a play. Plus, we'll have all the latest comic movie news as well. We won't have any comic movie news.
Don't delete it. Keep it in.
No, we'll do that.
Because you're a
I'll do that bit now. If you don't already, make sure to check out our socials at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all the latest updates on the show and calls to action for next week's Pod Fans Assemble. There isn't a Pod Fans Assemble next week. I'm reading a script. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher we go up the charts, and the more people will be able to find the show. It's 5 past midnight. I am tired.
Time
I'm emotionally exhausted and drained from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm gonna go and cry about teeth,
but all in a good way. I'm gonna go sleep, and he's gonna cry himself to sleep.
Yeah,
for 2 hours. Other than that, though, we'll see. episode is here next week.
Yeah.
We won't be here, though. So we'll speak to you guys in a fortnight. See you then.
See you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.